Blessed are
the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
Guten Tag, this is Carol Monaco of Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, bringing you another edition of Mission Improbable. Today, we are with the Little Sisters of the Poor in Cleveland, a true American melting pot. We're happy to have Mother Marie de la Concepcion with us again today. But before we talk to her about the sisters' new home here, I would like to tell you a bit about Cleveland. An historian writing about the city in the 1800s once said, "It was as if someone shook the world, and people from every country fell into Cleveland." Since the 1850s, immigrants from dozens of European countries have flocked to Cleveland, drawn by the city's steel mills, petroleum refineries, coach factories, lumber yards, and canal boats. Whether Irishmen or Germans, Greeks or Hispanics, natives of Slavic countries or the British Isles, these immigrants imagine they are coming to a land of gold-paved streets, but they end up spending their lives working long hours, 6 days a week, for low wages, often in unsafe conditions. Many came alone. They lived frugally in rooming houses and saved their money to bring their family over. Men who came alone typically live in boarding houses, which are nothing more than overcrowded family houses with beds set up in dormitory style, and meals served day and night to accommodate different work shifts. These new immigrants often live on the edge of survival. The strongest eventually make it as middle-class Americans, but many find themselves destitute as old age approaches. The largest single group of immigrants in Cleveland are the Germans. The lure of jobs and the desire for freedom from despotic rulers has drawn thousands of them here. According to an 1850 census, half of Ohio's immigrant population is German. Cleveland's Catholic bishop, however, is the French-born Louis Amadeus Rapp. Mother Marie, your sisters here in Cleveland must be happy to find themselves with a French pastor. Had you known Bishop Rapp before your arrival here?
Carol, it's nice to see you again. Yes, we have known Bishop Rapp since 1858, when he visited one of our homes back in France. 2 years ago, he submitted a formal request to Mother General, asking for a home of the Little Sisters in his diocese. Father Lelièvre was able to visit Cleveland, familiarizing himself with the situation of the elderly here. As you mentioned, there is a very large population of immigrants here, and among them many elderly people who struggled in their new country without family to support them and who find themselves penniless.
When did the sisters arrive here?
The sisters and I left Brooklyn by train on May 19th. And we arrived here in Cleveland the next day. Father Lelièvre picked us up at the train station and took us to the Sisters of Charity. Bishop Rapp was in Rome, so he asked his vicar, Father Caron, to welcome us on his behalf. The bishop himself had prepared a small house for us. We would only be able to accommodate a dozen old people, but we were happy to get started just the same. In the first couple of days, we welcomed 3 old women, and on Sunday, Father Lelièvre celebrated our first Mass in our new home.
Have the citizens of Cleveland been supportive?
Oh, yes. In fact, both Catholics and Protestants have come to our aid and provided for us. A good German family, Mr. and Mrs. Kramer, heard that we had arrived and came to ask what we needed. They sent us 40 flannel blankets, 15-foot covers, 3 new mattresses for the first poor residents, linen to make sheets and pillowcases, and provision of all sorts. With their children, they made 20 trips back and forth, bringing everything we needed, asking what else they could bring us. The next day, I thanked them for their great generosity. The wife responded, "Don't thank us. We are only paying a debt. As soon as my husband arrived in America, he fell sick and became almost blind. Suffering, seemingly with no hope of recovery, he ended up in the poorhouse. But he turned to God and promised him that if he recovered and regained his strength, he would invest all the money he earned in relieving the distress of the poor. This is what he has done ever since. I help him the best I can. God blesses his fidelity." I was so touched by this good family. Father Lelievre likes to say that we are like their adopted children. As wonderful as this family is, they have not been the only ones to help us. Many people not of our faith have come forward to provide for us as well. Even the Protestants here seem to respect Catholics, and they are eager to help us. One wealthy Protestant gentleman gave us a donation of $1,000, which we will put toward construction of a permanent home.
Have you been surprised at the level of support among non-Catholics?
Yes, I think so. Father Lelievre says that people have seen that we share the condition of the poor we receive, and that we take upon ourselves the shame of begging and the inconveniences associated with such great poverty.
And what about the elderly? Have you welcomed both Catholic and non-Catholic residents?
Yes, of course, as we always do. We have welcomed the elderly regardless of their religion or nationality. Perhaps that is one of the distinctive things about our homes here in America. I have noticed that there are other charitable homes for the elderly here, but most of them welcome a single religious or ethnic group. They more or less take care of their own, and people usually have to pay their own way. It is our hope that our homes will be a reflection of the population of this great country, with its remarkable mixture of nationalities and creeds. In our homes here in America, the German and the Frenchman, the Irishman and the Englishman mingle with the Spaniard and the Italian, or with natives of the United States. Many languages are spoken, but it is as if they become blended in the universal tongue understood in every country, the language of charity. As to religious creeds, everyone here is able to follow his own with the greatest liberty. Naturally, the Catholic religion predominates, but the adherents of other faiths receive the same welcome and are treated in the same manner as the Catholics. I do believe, however, that the devotedness of the Little Sisters, the tender care which their tireless charity lavishes on the poor and infirm, exercises a great influence on the hearts of our separated brethren and disposes them to embrace our dear religion.
Do you mean, Mother, that you've seen new converts, even among the elderly? Does anyone change their religion at such an advanced age?
Oh, yes. Just last week, we received a very poor Protestant woman. She was crying from hunger and was so weak that we thought she would die during the night. The sisters did all they could for her that night, And the next day, she called for the Mother Superior and told her that she suddenly realized that she was not in the right religion. "I am so sick," she said, "but I don't want to die as a Protestant. Please instruct me in your faith so that I can become Catholic as soon as possible." We felt she was very sincere, so we honored her request. She was suffering terribly, and she told us that without faith she had fallen into despair and had twice tried to end her life. She told us how grateful she was that she had not succeeded, because she felt she would have been lost for eternity. "Will the good God really pardon all my sins?" she asked. So the sisters encouraged her to have confidence in the mercy of God. The eve of St. Augustine's feast day, the sisters noticed that she seemed weaker, so they summoned a priest who baptized her, heard her confession, and gave her the Viaticum, which she received with great fervor. She asked her to pray for her, saying that she felt too weak to pray. She died just 2 days later, uttering the names of Jesus and Mary. This was the first conversion in this new foundation, but I am confident it won't be the last. Seeing the elderly embrace our Catholic faith or return to the practice of the faith after having been away for many years is a great joy for us little sisters. In the midst of the hard work and distracting cares of everyday life, many good people seem to forget the holy and consoling practices of their faith. But when the evening of life sets in, they love to seek again the creed and customs that were the joy of their childhood. Although the remembrance of their Catholic faith may have been effaced for some time, it remains engraved indelibly on their hearts. And I think I can say with confidence that the Rosary is often their favorite prayer.
Mother, you've inspired me. Would you lead us in a Hail Mary right now?
May I say it in French?
Of course. For our listeners, please join us in whatever language you prefer to pray.
Je vous salue, Marie, pleine de grâce. Le Seigneur est avec vous. Vous êtes bénie entre toutes les femmes, et Jésus, le fruit de vos entrailles, est béni. Sainte Marie, Mère de Dieu, priez pour nous, pécheurs, maintenant et à l'heure de notre mort. Amen.
What better way to end our podcast today? Mother Marie, thank you for being with us once again. Please keep our listeners in your prayers. Signing off for Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media's Mission Improbable podcast, I'm Carol Monaco.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, children of
Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
To get my reward.